We're in this famous study, The Anatomy of a Fool, Part 2. Anatomy is probably not the best term, but it's the one I chose, 15 years ago, so I'm sticking with it. So we have this comment from Kidner: the fool meets us under various names. And so we have this verse in Proverbs 1:22. How long, O naive ones or simple ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. And so we have these three categories: the naive or simple, the scoffer or scorner, and the fool. And the fool of Proverbs is a comprehensive look at man in varying degrees of spiritual antagonism to the things of God. So what I'm doing with this study is to sort of categorize various references to the fool, the simple one, the scoffer in the book of Proverbs. Last week we talked about the simple, and this week we're going to move on to the fool. We won't finish the fool today. We'll have more to say about him next week, but we'll try to get it all done in three. I hope just three sessions. So last week under the simple, we had these terms: he's gullible, we had he's young, he's youth, we have lacks sense, easily seduced, not sensible, weak-willed, heart problem, and vanity or emptiness. And then he is led or misled. Easily, he can either be led or misled. So it's a man who isn't strong in himself, in his spiritual standing. So then his fate, we talked about that, and his fate is he will move from simplicity to foolishness, and then from foolishness to destruction. Also, the cure is wisdom. The cure is wisdom. So we have a quote. Also, one thing to finish up here from Kidner: if the simple refuses wisdom, he will graduate to a more serious condition. The simple acquire folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Proverbs 14:25. For one does not stay still. A man who is empty-headed will end up wrong-headed. And that's what Kidner says, and I think he's right on that. So now we're going to talk about the fool. And as we did last, well, before we get to that, I'm going to give you three terms for fool that we're going to use in analyzing the references to the fool in Proverbs. So these are the Hebrew words, and then I'm going to give you a translation or meaning. So the first one is kasil, obstinate. Okay, it's the commonest of the three terms. At its root, it means to be sluggish. But the sluggishness is such that it's a sluggishness of will. He's somebody who just won't move away from folly. One definition book says that he's the dull or obstinate one, referring not to mental deficiency, but to a propensity to make wrong choices. And Kidner says it must always be remembered that the book has in mind a man's chosen outlook rather than his mental equipment. So we could put it this way: he's unthinking and proud of it. He likes his folly. Again, Kidner says that. Okay, so then the second term is he will, and it's insolent. Insolent. Possibly from a root meaning thick, thus thick-headed or stupid. Is what I have in the notes. There is a moral quality to this foolishness. The fool is corrupt in the sense of one who is morally deficient. The feature that seems especially prominent is his moral insolence. See Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin. Okay, so insolence. And then the third term, you're probably familiar with this one if you know Samuel, Nabal, okay, the boor. And the Nabal of the book of Samuel is the epitome of this characteristic. It includes concepts found in the other two words, but also emphasizes being ignoble and disgraceful, a downright boor, insensibility to God, as well as moral insensibility, close the mind to reason. All right, so those are the three terms. Now today, we're going to be looking at verses that contain the first two terms, the kasil and the iwil, the obstinate and the insolent. They are all intermixed in these verses. All right, so we're going to look at, what I'm going to do is I'll give you the verses, then we'll, I'll give you the term, and then we'll have some discussion about the idea. All right, so let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. This is one of the references. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. And then the alternative, answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he be not wise in his own eyes. Oops, what happened there? Got to get back to where I was. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. So the characteristic here, we're talking about this term folly in the book of Proverbs. Any comments on that? Any observations you want to make from that, those verses? Give me a chance for a sip of coffee, as I always say. Addie?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm wondering what the contrast there is.
Right. So in the sense, in when he talks about do not answer a fool according to his folly, sometimes a fool is just, it is not, if you engage in an argument with a fool, you're just going to go around in circles and you're going, you'll never get anywhere. And you become foolish in the argument, is what he's saying. But sometimes, on the other hand, so these are proverbs, these are not laws, these are not commandments, right? So on the other hand, sometimes you need to answer a fool as his folly deserves. Sometimes he needs to be rebuked, okay, in his foolishness. And so he needs to be put down because he is being a fool. So in other words, don't argue with a fool, but when you have the opportunity, rebuke a fool would be the wise path, I think is what these verses are saying. All right, any other comments on that or questions? Debbie?
Well, that first verse, that's interesting, because I've never thought of a fool as being dangerous.
Right, right. So, yes, and in this, so that first reference, a fool is dangerous. Okay, he has a corrupting influence. He can cause a lot of trouble. That's right. Yes, James.
On the topic of, you know, like arguing with a fool or associating with money, reminds me of another saying. Goes, don't fight with a pig because he'll get dirty too.
Yes, right. Yes, and he likes it too. The pig likes
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. Okay, so you're right. Okay, so the next category or the next set of verses: a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. And a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. So this characteristic of the fool, he despises discipline and correction. Now, I don't think anybody likes discipline and correction. But a fool despises it. And he won't learn from it. It's always their fault. Right? When a fool is being disciplined, you know, the stupid policeman, the stupid parent, the stupid school principal, the stupid, you know, we can go down the list. All of them, right? It's always somebody else's fault. That's the characteristic of a fool. Okay? Any comments on that or questions? Debbie?
Seems like a fool reveals himself as a child, because both of those references are how a child responds to their parents.
Yes.
So if you see somebody that's not responding well to their parents, then you kind of get...
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
That's right. So there is a...
They show up early.
It shows up early. It does need to be corrected. The parents need to correct that. We can't allow our children to be foolish. I mean, this is one thing. I'll say this. This is free. This wasn't in the notes. Okay, kids can be foolish. Kids are kids. You want to let them be kids. But there is a little bit of a danger in sort of laughing at them being foolish and thinking it's cute. It is cute, in a way. But when they, in another 5 years, it won't be cute. Right? And I remember, I want to, like I'm the great parent. Okay, so I told my son this joke when we were driving one time, that the red means stop, green means go, and yellow means step on it or you'll miss it. So then he was repeating that to somebody else. I said, oh, I better correct that. Okay? Because it's just a joke. It's not true. We want to not have that mindset, you see. Well, that's a little funny example, but we do that. In order to raise our children, okay, they're cute once, but then, okay, second time, we're not going to do that anymore, mm-hmm. right? Okay, we're not going to just laugh it off, because kids need to grow up. Yeah. Even though they are cute, they do need to grow up. Even though cuteness is nice, it doesn't last. When you get to be 20, cute, you aren't cute anymore. Okay, it just isn't there. Okay, so anyway, that's a little extra. Okay, so let's move on to the next section. If I can hit this thing right. There we go. All right. So, wise men store up knowledge, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. Wisdom rests in the heart of one who has understanding, but in the heart of fools it is made known. Okay. And then this one is lacks wisdom. Okay. So, wise men store up knowledge. With the mouth of the fools, ruin is at hand, right? And you can see the difference there. The characteristic I'm focusing on is lacking of wisdom. All right, any comments there or questions? I think it is somewhat straightforward, but if somebody has something they want to say. All right, so let's move on to the next one. The wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. Okay? He who winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will be ruined. You have the same phrase in that verse. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. And one more. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. So what we're talking about here is foolish speech. All right? Yes, James.
Quick question on the term winks the eye. I don't think I've ever heard of that one before.
He who winks the eye. Well, I guess you think about the person who is, Oh, Susan wants to.
Okay. This is like when my kids are like telling a lie to each other, my students, and they're crossing their fingers while they're doing it.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can say this as long as I...
Yeah, as long as you cross your fingers.
So you make a joke and you... Or you, right. say, you say something and you don't really mean it, so you...
Yeah.
But people don't see you winking.
Right. Or if you're trying to deceive somebody and you're just winking at your friend, this is... Yeah. I'm just pulling one on them, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank
so,
you.
Yeah, so, yeah, this is... Again, you know, we can illustrate this with children because children are foolish. Well, they're simple, right? They're simple, and they're learning traits of foolishness, and that's why we need to train children how to talk, how to behave. I mean, it's sort of natural, we know that, but sometimes we let them be too immature too long, I guess is the idea. All right. Okay, so let's move on then. Where am I at here? A fool's anger is known at once. But a prudent man conceals dishonor. Okay? Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. And so this category, we're thinking of lack of self-control, hot-tempered. Somebody who is quick to fight. Okay? All right, Rob, he wants to add something.
So with the first one there, about a prudent man conceals dishonor, be something like take the wrong just for the sake of peace and not fight with somebody that's...
Yeah, I think so. If you compare it to the first phrase, a fool's anger is known at once. So a fool receives a slight and he just blows up at you, right? Now, and the reaction is disproportionate to the offense. Now, maybe it is an offense. Okay, maybe he's right that it's, well, did you hear what he said? Or whatever. So, okay. But a prudent man says, well, I've said dumb things too. I can take it. Doesn't matter in the end. Whatever. So I think maybe that's, you're right, on the right track there. Marlene.
Notice that, like, it's got the man, a mature man. I don't think you use the word, you can't use a man in, with maturity. How should I say it. But a sign of a man to me is somebody that is mature and knows how to respond in that.
Right.
The fool can be a male.
Right. An adult male, yes. He can be an adult male, but is he a man? That's the question.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, okay, so you think about, we started off in this study with the simple. Okay, so the simple, okay, one characteristic of the simple is they're young. And they're easily influenced. They can be led or misled. And they need to be shaped. But if you do not shape him, and he grows up to be a fool, he continues in his simplicity as an adult, he becomes a fool. And he's not mature. And he, or she, is, and does a lot of foolish things. So I think, you know, if you get set in the ways of simplicity, you morph into the adult pool, I guess is the way to say it. Right, James?
That's what just made me think of 1 Corinthians, when Paul's talking about in verse 11, when he goes, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things.
That's right, yes. So there is a... That is a natural progression. Now, you know, granted, everybody grows up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, unless they've got some kind of, you know, handicap, mental handicap or something, which, but even there, even though people with those kind of handicaps, they grow, they become very useful people. Some of them actually can become very wise people. Okay? And if they submit to the Lord, they certainly do become wise. They learn how to control their outbursts and their feelings and their expressions, and learn how to be appropriate in the way they talk. And that's the idea that we're talking about here. All right, Debbie?
Yeah, when you were reading those verses, I thought of the phrase that people often say today about someone, let's say, just has no filter.
Has no filter, yes.
They'll just say whatever comes to mind.
Yes.
And not think about the consequences of those words.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's right.
Fool, right.
That is the fool. The person who has no filter is a fool. He needs to filter himself, control himself. Sometimes it takes a lot of discipline to get there. Okay. All right, let's move to the next one. Okay, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. And we're especially focusing on the fool here, so... As we think about these things, wisdom is too exalted for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. All right, so the gate is, when you see that in the Old Testament, it's talking about the courts, the city center, the place where men met to discuss, to try cases, to do business. It was a city, it was the place of judgment in a city. So, the fool, he has nothing to say in the gate, right? The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. And a rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. And so the words here, insolent, intractable, incorrigible. He will not listen. And it is challenging to try to help someone to overcome this trait. What else should I say about it? I've had to deal with men who just, you know, you try to help and they just would not listen. And I can think back through the history of our work here. And year after year after year, we've had different ones who, you know, you try to point them the right way, try to show them, there's a little sign for a while that they're following the word, but then something happens and off they go. All right, so any comments on this? All right. This one might be going faster than I thought. We'll see. Okay, so though you pound a fool in mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. I guess we could have used that one for the last category. But you think about that image, right? You know what a mortar and pestle is. Okay, so, all right. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the folly of fools is foolishness. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. I tried not to repeat verses, but I guess I got one there. Why is there a price in the hand of a fool to buy wisdom when he has no sense? Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. All right, so here, bound to folly. Yes, Susan. Sure.
Okay, so the Proverbs 17:10.
Yes.
I think some people might take. I mean, I know I have 23 students this year, and I have to correct them a lot.
Yes.
And you might just kind of think, well, they don't want to understand, so why bother with the 100?
Oh.
Not blows. But, but when I correct them, it feels like I do it that many times sometimes. And it's
yes.
like, why bother doing it if they're just
right.
going to continue it? Like, how do you justify
right.
continually correcting them?
Well, I would say at your stage, the kids that you're working with, they're still at the age of simplicity.
I mean, I know I still need to correct
yes.
them. But I'm just saying, as you're looking at...
Well, that's the thing. This is the thing. Parents get tired of discipline.
Yeah.
Like, you know, those kids.
There are days
they keep doing. Yeah.
I'm just like, well, today's
yeah.
my free day. I'm just gonna
let them go. Right. So yeah, you get tired of it because you've taught that lesson over and over and over, Crystal.
True. We hear that over and over, and that yet we still make the same mistakes. But God
yes.
tolerates our
yes.
bad behavior.
Yes.
He forgives us every time.
So he does if we're repentant. That's true.
So,
yes.
So we just take that same approach with kids. You can't
yeah.
give up.
Yeah, you can't give up. That's right.
Yeah.
And there are consequences. This is metaphorical where it says 100 blows into a fool. Like even in their society, they weren't just taking a guy and putting him on the stake and pounding him 100 times. I think in the Jewish law, in fact, there was a limit. Was it 40 strikes? Okay. So when they, in their punishment system, their limit was, what was it? 40? Paul says.
Minus one.
Right. So what they would do is that if someone was sentenced to a beating as a punishment, which was in their system, they would only hit him 39 times in case they miscounted. Because the law said 40. Right. Okay. So. Right.
There's that parenting book, Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp, and he actually had a very good illustration about, you know, training a child's character. It's like their character is like this cement that's wet.
Yes.
And the parameters, it's like we're holding that mold in place until
yes.
the character is formed.
Yes.
So that's why it's
yes.
need to be.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That's a good illustration. And by the way, that's a good book too. If you want to read, just even to understand, if your kids are grown, it's still good to read. Just to help you in your thinking, and maybe as grandchildren come along to be an influence. All right, Addie next.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Emily because, like, I tell my kids, like, whatever you do, you won't be a 15-year-old forever. You won't
yeah.
be a teenager forever, so they have to be careful.
Yes.
So I quite agree with the cement part. Like, we have to mold them even as parents, so we don't indulge them.
Yes.
And we don't continue in that foolish way.
That's right.
To adulthood.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you will be, if you will try to be consistent, you will see some fruit of that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, and the other thing with Proverbs, we're just focusing right now on the fool. The other thing in Proverbs is constantly that theme, my son, give me your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue is, you know what? We're not just here, okay, so let's just discipline these fools to get the foolishness out of them, but we're also, Let's appeal to these simple ones to love God, to love His ways, to love His Word, to have a spiritual relationship with God. And that is will do more than even what we can do in building character. Now, there's another hand. Was it Susan? Okay.
Well, I was just thinking, like, I know for me with the kids, it's like, okay, so, like, I can't parent all those children. That's the thing. But I'm not in charge of being their parent, but I am in charge of holding them accountable. I don't get to decide, well, this is their last day for them to get that tough love, and tomorrow I'm going to just let them go to their folly. You know,
yes.
It really is, I guess, not up to, as a disciplinarian, it's not up to us to decide when that person's, you know, basically allowed to go their own way. Like, God is in charge of that. Of you know, He gives us responsibilities with, you know, I know some people with kids, but it's like we don't get to decide, you know, well, they're never going to listen anymore or whatever it is. Like,
yes.
Yeah. God, God does love us even despite the amount of times we've been the fool.
That's right. So. That's right. Okay. Thank you, Susan. Okay. Very good. All right, I don't want to rush on because I want to watch my clock too. But anyway, I will move to the next section. Okay, he who troubles, I just see where I'm at. He who troubles his own house will inherit wind, and the foolish will be a servant to the wise-hearted. Okay, there is a precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. And so cannot manage home or money. And so that I was thinking as we read that last verse, you think about stories you've read about some man who's been a businessman. He's built a fortune. He's not disciplined his children, hasn't even really paid attention to his children. They inherit the wealth and they blow it. And how often is that? Now, not always. There's some families that go on for several generations. But it is a regular theme that has been seen in the lives of young people and getting themselves into trouble and blowing the hard efforts of their parents that went to a kid. Now, it's not just about wealth, but we're talking about even spiritual resources as well. All right, any comments on that or questions? Okay, that one isn't too hard to grasp. Next one. Wise men store up knowledge, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will protect them. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and blows for the back of fools. A whip is for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. And so here's the other thing about foolishness, it is punished. The fool is punished. The fools are punished for their folly. Now, it may not be their authority figure. It may not be somebody who, you know, like you know, their parents, or it may not be their, you know, their teacher at school. But if somebody persists in foolishness, eventually they will run afoul of someone who is bigger than them. And they will be punished for their wrongdoing. And so you see young people, you warn them, and then they get into trouble with the law. Or they get into trouble in their home. They get into trouble and things happen to them that they thought they could control their lives, but they find that they cannot. There are roadblocks in the way. They're providential in a way. They're in, you know, in Romans it says, the government, that's not the right word. The government doesn't bear, the king does not bear the sword in vain, right? The idea is that he has authority and he is able to restrain and restrict wrongdoing. So somebody is pursuing their foolish course, eventually, some way, they will find that they cannot do what they want. Okay? And I think that's true for almost every person in this world. And woe betide the person who has no restraints, has no, you know, seemingly no one who can stop him for his foolishness. All right, I'll stop talking. Any questions or comments there? Okay, I will move on to, I think this is the last category, is it? Yes. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. Our soul is, and these are from the Psalms. Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. So the last characteristic of the fool is that he is proud. All right. So in the in Proverbs 20:28-26, this is self-confidence. In Proverbs 1:7, in the form of sneering at wisdom. And then we see again it rebuked in the Psalms as well. All right. So any last comments on this category, Betty?
You know, the verses kind of contrast the fool versus the wise. So it sounds like this concept is like categorical, but in terms of applying this, you think it's helpful if we think we're not trying to identify a person as either a wise or a fool, but
right.
These are the ways. That one can be foolish, and
right.
No matter where we are, we can always learn.
Yes, that's a good point. So the Proverbs are contrasting the wise and the fool. We've been looking at it as a category, but the fact is we should look at these verses as where am I on the scale? All right, so I've done dumb things. Even yesterday, probably. Okay. So as I interact with the scriptures, they should be speaking to me. Where am I on this scale? Okay, we've got wisdom and foolishness. Where am I in between the two poles? All right, Rob.
Well, since you're trying to use up time, and since Susan's here, I'm wondering if she could tell us about some of your dumb things.
Okay, we'll strike that comment from the record. Okay, so Addie.
Proverbs 1:7 just jumps right at me here,
yeah.
That says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom,
yes.
And fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it says to me that due to the Adamic nature of man,
yes.
We all turn towards foolishness.
Absolutely.
But if we have a guiding principle like the fear of God in everything we do,
yes.
Then it kind of like whips us back in line. Every
that's
time
right. It's the center. If that's the center of your life, it's sort of like the pole star that brings you back. You keep looking to the Lord. This is, you know, why do, you know, next Sunday is the Read Your Bible Sunday. So why do I have a Read Your Bible Sunday? Because we want to keep our lives oriented around God's Word. We want to be thinking about God's thoughts. We want to be thinking how it applies in my life. We want to receive instruction, wisdom, inspiration, motivation, rebuke, correction, reproof. We want all of those things from God's Word. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning. And that's absolutely correct. All right, Susan?
Could you explain the last verse there?
Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. I probably would need to look at the whole context. But the idea here, I think, is that those who are, you know, they have no pressures in their life and they're very self-assured. Often a rich person can be categorized this way. They don't have pressures. And so they can afford to scoff, they think. And they can afford to be proud. So let me just go to the Psalm 123:4. Okay, so the first, verse 3 says, "Be gracious to us, O Lord, be gracious to us, for we are greatly filled with contempt. Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud." So what the psalmist is praying is that he would be delivered from the overwhelming, he's under pressure, he would be delivered from the contempt of those who are not going through the struggle and think they know better. So as a characteristic, what we're pulling the verse out to show is that the idle fool is one who has, he is somebody who is an expert on everybody else's problems. Right? And he is full of contempt. And so the psalmist, as he's praying, is saying, Lord, deliver me from this person who's like that. Okay? All right. So, Gordon.
Proverbs 1:7.
Yes.
Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
So, yes.
I don't know if you've ever argued with somebody and they know you're right.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, the famous line is, I don't care what the Bible says.
Yeah, yeah.
I know how I feel.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah.
I don't care what's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I'm going to do it anyway. Yes, go ahead.
And also, like, because of our sinful nature, I've noticed it's like, even when we know we're wrong, we still have a tendency to almost want to argue it.
Yes.
Even though we know we're wrong, because it's in our nature to, you know, try
That's
to
right.
pump us around.
That's right. Yes, to justify ourselves. That's right. That's right. Okay. Susan?
I know that personal conflict in the bottom one, because I know I've been oversharing today with students, but obviously I have some PTSD from it. But I know that for me and my teacher friends, we talk about this, how we get like so, like, oh, these kids, you know, they think they know everything, and we're so like, we have a lot of contempt for their pride, but then in a sense we become proud on
yes.
top of them.
Right.
So it's just, it's very easy to, when you're disciplined, to do it in a non-loving way, because you just think you're so much better than, you know,
well,
and
those little...
we forget how quickly we fall into the same traps that is more simplistic with the kids.
Right, and that's an illustration of not answering a fool according to his folly in that sense, right? Yeah, yeah, so that's... They do need the rebuke, but we need to watch that we don't fall into foolishness ourselves. All right. Any last comments? We'll wrap it up otherwise. Rob?
Well, I think I would say, much like what Susan's saying, like, my parents weren't Christians.
Yeah.
And when they corrected us, not my mom necessarily, but certainly my dad, it was more out of anger or embarrassment rather than out of love and care for
yeah.
conduct.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of a lot of parallels to what this is saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't hold it against him because he wasn't a Christian. He didn't know better.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And of course it was the 60s and stuff, so it was
yeah.
there, you know? But
yeah. Well, one of the things I would say there is that when you're leading and trying to help somebody, it is sometimes what happens with parents is they want the kid to quit bugging them. They don't, it's not the behavior itself that they see as something that needs to be corrected. It's just creating chaos and pandemonium, and I want to do my thing and you're interfering with it. Okay? You're interrupting my pleasure in whatever, watching a TV show or doing something. And so just be quiet. Okay? So you don't actually get attention to the problem and try to shape the character. You're just trying to stifle the kid because he's irritating you. Okay, so that's not the way to approach discipline. You want to communicate truth again and again and get the child to understand and accept it. All right, so Marlene?
Well, the eyes and the tone and the voice teach so much to a child. Through with kindness and that teaching them, they're apt to listen.
Yes.
The eyes are just... so revealing of how
yes.
there's anger or whatever
yes.
there.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, the heart has to be there. There also has to be firmness. My dad, he didn't even have to touch you. He just looked at you and he knew, I better quit. Or, you know, my mother would say, you're cruising for a bruising. And but Dad, he could just look at you. Okay. All right. Well, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time, what we've had today. We've been thinking about the fool and the way the fool acts. Lord, we recognize ourselves in these verses because we often are fools. And Lord, we want to be wise. So we pray that you will correct us and that you would help us to turn to the right, that we would be what you would have us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.